I love the phrase okie dokie. Do you know what the word sometimes is in Japanese? The word sometimes? It's tokie dokie. Don't say you haven't learned anything on the A-Level Politics show, folks. Hello and welcome to the A-Level Politics show. Today, we return to the isms, the ideologies, more specifically, socialism. Check out previous podcasts on whether socialism is a unified ideology, whether socialists agree on the means and ends, and whether socialists support the concept of common humanity. Today, in this freebie episode, we will be exploring socialism and the state. To what extent do socialists agree about the role of the state? My one sentence direction at the start of this essay is this: socialists largely disagree about the role of the state. Notice the word largely. I'm not saying there is complete disagreement, because the question is asking you to measure the extent. It is not a yes or no question like in the 30 markers. It is an extent question. How far do they agree? Therefore, phrases like mostly and largely are more appropriate phrases to use in essays when it comes to ideologies. I will ensure that, to prove my direction, that socialists largely disagree on the state, that three main themes will be covered. One, the existence or need for a state. Two, the state's role in the economy. And three, the state's role in promoting social equality. I will start each section considering the alternative view, i.e. that there is some agreement, but end each section attempting to prove that there is largely disagreement on these three areas, and thus overall there is large disagreement on the role of the state. Okay, let's go. Now, when you are writing an essay on ideologies, you must use all the strands associated with that ideology. So for socialism, it will be fundamentalists, it will be social democrats, it will be third way socialists. However, when we talk about the means, when we talk about the methods, when we talk about whether the state should even exist, I think you have to bring in the concepts of evolutionary and revolutionary socialists as well, and consider them as two substrands, if you like. So most socialists in today's society, if we are starting with the idea that there is some agreement and then ending with the idea that there is mainly large disagreement, most socialists, if you are using the weaker argument, in my view, in today's society are evolutionary socialists. Indeed, this could arguably be an umbrella term that includes social democrats and third way socialists, and even some fundamentalist socialists that wanted everything Marx wanted, but they didn't necessarily want to tear down the state in bringing that about. What does it mean to be an evolutionary socialist? It means that there is A, some form of commitment to democracy and peaceful means of getting towards a socialist state. Beatrice Webb advocated what we call a parliamentary road and the so-called inevitability of gradualness. Her idea was that after the working classes won the right to vote, they would vote for socialist parties like the Labour Party in the UK, and socialism would then be introduced. It need not be all about class struggle either, as the middle classes may well come to see that socialism was in their interest too. Thus, evolutionary socialism is a rejection of state-sanctioned violence and, for the most part, an acceptance of state-led institutions and state-led solutions. Even some revolutionary socialists would oppose violence, and so in this sense there is some similarity. Rosa Luxemburg decried the antics of Lenin and felt that all the Russian Revolution did was to besmirch the good name of Karl Marx and create not a dictatorship of the proletariat as he envisaged, but of a small group of elites who subjugated the population just as much as the Tsar did. Hence why Luxemburg calls for a peaceful mass strike to overthrow the state. Yet here is where the similarities end, because she still advocated the overthrow of the state just in a peaceful way. Just having similarities on how the state is taken over, i.e. through peaceful means, hardly suggests agreement on the need for the state in the first place, rather simply the belief in how you get to control it. There is ultimately far more disagreement between revolutionary and evolutionary socialists. Revolutionary socialists think the state is bourgeois, an agent of the middle class, and that representative democracy is a sham. The belief that they have the belief that the state perpetuates deep inequality and class oppression. Hence, they produce a blueprint to get rid of it. Number one, the working class would first develop class consciousness. They would become aware of their plight and work together to overthrow the state. Number two, they recognise fundamentalists. I should say revolutionaries. Don't get the two confused. In many ways, there is overlap, but fundamentalists are talking about the ends more, and revolutionaries are talking about the means, how you get to overthrow the state. So let's come back to the number two point here is in their blueprint is that revolutionaries recognise that the state must be overthrown in order to control the economy. That is what Marx described as historical materialism, the idea that those who control the means of production control the destiny of society. Number three in the blueprint is that revolutionaries cannot see any other option than sudden revolt against the state and its overthrow, because history tells us that deep division always leads to conflict, what Marx described as Marxist dialectic. Note that I'm using lots of key terms here. That's really high, rich AO1. To Marx, this approach, overthrowing extreme injustices and starting again, was inevitable and a natural and scientific conclusion to the history of mankind. And point four in the blueprint is this: once the state is overtaken, you'll have a short-term dictatorship of the proletariat, the working class to you and me, and then socialism will be doled out, and eventually there will not be a need for a state because a harmonious communist society will come in its stead. All of this is at odds with evolutionary socialists who think the state can be utilised for good, can be used to bring about a socialist society. Gradual reform over time, using the institutions of the state, a so-called vanguard elite of well-trained technocrats, according to Webb, could, along with mass support from the enfranchised working class, create a kind of society that is for the many and not the few. The only thing that is inevitable is not conflict, and not the destruction of the state, which is something revolutionaries believe in. But what is inevitable, according to Webb, as I said earlier, is the inevitability of gradualness. You can get socialism through state measures over time. Hence why evolutionaries think you need a state and revolutionaries think you don't, even if some of them want the same thing. If I might also mention a few of the other strands here, we could argue that social democrats and third way socialists have a different vision of the structure of the state. Yes, they both think you need a state and they both believe in democracy. Social democrats, though, tend to believe in top-down centralised control, whereas the third way have advocated for more local decision-making through devolution. Third way socialists are essentially arguing for ground-up change and a transfer of power from the centre, while social democrats believe in state management from the top down. Thus, even amongst the evolutionary socialists, those who are committed to representative democracy and state institutions, we have differences on political structures. Now then, we will turn to the state's role in the economy. Now, we can see some similarities between fundamentalist and social democrats when it comes to the economy and the state. They both critique capitalism. They think it leads, if left unchecked, to harmful consequences and deep inequality. Yet in some ways, that is the sum total of their agreement. They fundamentally differ over what the state should do about capitalism. As noted, fundamentalist socialists want to remove capitalism, which for them is propagated by the state, which is dominated by those who benefit from capitalism, i.e. the middle class, the bourgeois. Social democrats, on the other hand, do not think this way. Crosland spoke of the state needing to manage capitalism, that is, to use the proceeds from the wealth capitalists generate and through state taxation redistribute that wealth to make society fairer. Giving people a sense of social justice, according to social democrats, will remove the conditions for revolution against the state. So in this sense, capitalism is a necessary evil. Meanwhile, the third way would go even further. Instead of critiquing capitalism, they would advocate harnessing it, even celebrating it, dare I say. They certainly want to work with it through public-private partnerships. This is a far cry from the common ownership of industry advocated by fundamentalists or a mixed economy advocated by social democrats. Overall, therefore, while many socialists agree that capitalism is flawed, they have different ideas on what the state should do about it. I suggest the following with my students, and you can't see my hand gestures, but what I might do is raise my fists in the air as if I'm about to punch something when I'm talking about the fundamentalist view of what the state should do with capitalism, i.e. smack it onto the floor. And then when I'm referring to what social democrats want to do with capitalism, what they think the state should do, I might pretend that I'm driving a car with a steering wheel in my hand because I'm managing it. I'm directing capitalism, if you like. I'm ensuring it turns the right corners and gets to where I want society to go. And with the third way, I might pretend to hug myself because I'm embracing capitalism. So in that sense, the state is embracing capitalism. So we're talking about smashing it, managing it, and embracing it, loving it. Okay, it's a bit like the McDonald's advert. I'm loving it. Now, let's consider the state's role in society and its role in promoting equality. You could argue that all three strands believe that the state must promote social equality and that this is mainly achieved through advocating collectivisation or collectivism, moving away from an individualised society to one where there is greater cooperation, creating the conditions for common humanity and harmony. Fundamentalists and social democrats are concerned about inequality and how the state has a responsibility to the citizen to create conditions where they can achieve their potential. However, this belief in social equality and the state's role in realising it is only skin deep. The three main strands have completely different views when it comes to the state's role in society and in promoting social equality. For fundamentalists, there should be absolute equality in society, and thus the state should be majorly involved in ensuring equality of outcome. For social democrats, meanwhile, the state should promote welfare equality, using taxation to create a welfare system that provides cradle-to-the-grave support. Again, the emphasis here is on state responsibility to the citizen to bring about social justice. But the third way are very different from this approach. Responsibility should not just rest with the state, but with the citizen also, and the citizen's responsibility to their community. They believe, therefore, that too much reliance on the state ignores the idea that not all humans support a collectivist society. They are also motivated by material rewards, which for them is downplayed by fundamentalists. Looking at the gap between the haves and the have-nots is less important than ensuring a safety net. Minimum standards, like a minimum wage, for example, that the state puts in place to ensure that no one falls too far. So for the third way, the state should create conditions for equality of opportunity. Anything more than that, according to Giddens, is mindless social engineering that will not produce better results. Thus, we can see very different views on the role of the state in promoting equality because the strands want a different type of equality and they want a different type of society. If you want a collectivist society where everyone is equal and everyone has a stake, then the state will be more heavily involved in producing that. That's something the fundamentalists would advocate. Whereas if you want equality of opportunity, you are going to leave individuals to go it alone somewhat, even though you're going to have some kind of safety net. This is something that the third way advocate. So Peter Mandelson, who we very much associate with third way politics and New Labour, once said that he was OK with people getting filthy rich. But, the idea of equality is seen as something that is an essential government function to bring about for fundamentalist socialists. So we see very, very big differences here. Thus, the state must be leaner and perhaps even meaner for third way socialists, but more generous for social democrats, and must be the change maker for fundamentalists. A few tips to end on then. Strands, strands, strands. Notice that I have used fundamentalists, social democrats, and the third way and compared them specifically pretty much all the way through this podcast. State, state, state. I've lost count of the number of times I've used that word. You must use that word because it's in the question. So keep using words in the question. Key terms, key terms, key terms. I've used at one point or another, I think, every key term from the specification related to socialism. Make sure you do the same. So if you're writing about feminism, you need essentialism, you need all the strands, of course, the four strands in feminism. You need phrases like public and private sphere. You need to use all the key terms if you're writing about that specific ideology. Key thinkers. I'm not going to say it three times. I'll probably say it twice. Key thinkers, key thinkers. Because you only need to use two key thinkers. But I think you would do better to use as many as you can. So probably more than two. But when you use them, don't just name drop them. Refer to their specific beliefs. So I quoted from Beatrice Webb. I spoke about the parliamentary road. I used some of the technical language associated with Karl Marx, like historical materialism. I refer to managed capitalism when talking about Crosland. So quoting from thinkers accurately is better AO1, better knowledge. Okay. Start with the weaker arguments in your paragraphs for AO3 and end with the strong. Make it clear that you have a clear view about what the answer is to the question and keep repeating that. My view has been that socialists largely disagree on the state, so keep referring back to that, certainly at the end of each paragraph. Make sure your conclusion repeats the judgments made throughout. So here is my conclusion. Socialists largely disagree on the need for the state, with revolutionaries advocating for a sudden overthrow of it and evolutionaries calling for state-led gradualist approaches. They largely disagree on the state's role in the economy, perhaps only agreeing on the challenges posed by capitalism, but not on what to do about it, with social democrats calling for managed capitalism and the third way advocating for public-private partnerships, while fundamentalists want the state to abolish capitalism altogether. And when it comes to the state involvement in society, the disagreements on the type of equality each strand supports leads them to advocate for very different state-led solutions. So that is it for today's show. Did you like it? Find it useful? If you did, why not subscribe to Plus Plus Plus? As one of my students noted just last week, for less than a large Aldi pizza each month, you get two bonus podcast episodes each and every month, plus access to the full back catalogue. Now, that meal deal sounds tasty. If you really want to help support the show, please do tell others about it and leave a lovely review wherever you get your podcasts. If that's on Spotify, then why not partake in our after-show polls? You'll find them after most of our recent episodes. The one today is simply this: do socialists largely agree upon the role of the state? Okay, until the next time, peeps. See ya.